This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to a very, very special edition of the Blue Monday podcast. I am delighted to have as my guest this evening the word legend is often bandied about, but this one is a true Ipswich Town legend, record goal scorer, league championship winner, Division 2 championship winner, and one of the original four inaugural members of the Ipswich Town Hall of Fame, in illustrious company with Mick Mills, Johnny Walk, his colleague Ted Phillips. It is none other than Mr. Ray Crawford. Ray,
good evening, Dave.
Oh, good, mate. I'm very good, thank you. First of all, thanks for coming on. And just a very quick, while I think about it, very, very many thanks to my a long-time podcaster subscriber, Tim Pashley, who got hold of you via, I think, a relation of his partner, Andrew Moon, I believe, who works for Radio Solent, I believe. And he kindly gave me your contact details. So many, many thanks for that. And I'm so pleased to have got the opportunity to, Ray, to hear from you and to meet you. It's a pleasure, absolute pleasure.
And me too, Dave. And I listened to the game on Saturday and what happened?
Well, do you know what? I was one of the, I don't know if you call it lucky or unlucky, Ray. I put my name forward in the ballot and was one, I think I told you earlier, I was one of the lucky 2000 to get a ticket. And it was, it was heavy going, mate. It really was heavy going. I mean, okay, we're suffering terribly with injuries at the moment. But there's just the performance. Portsmouth, I don't know if you saw it, were a yard sharper than us and could have been four or five easily.
Yeah, so I believe.
Yeah, no, they look.
Yeah, I was listening to Andy Moon, so I'm glad he gave you my number.
Oh, good stuff. No, thanks for that. Thanks for that.
Well,
first of all, I really wanted to obviously cover your career. Obviously, your career at Ipswich, and then perhaps following on from that, perhaps a little bit of insight into one other particular match that obviously you're very well known for after your time at Ipswich. But mostly, obviously, we're an Ipswich Town podcast. So, you know, your time at Ipswich. I mean, just quickly, Ray, I've read your book and it's quite well known, but just take me through just quickly. How did you come to join your early career and how did you come to join Ipswich? I gather Sir Ralph was rather persistent in obtaining your signature. Is that right?
Yeah, so what happened, about a year before I actually signed for the town, I came up and played in Portsmouth Reserves. And at that time, Ipswich Town were over at Norwich.
Right.
And playing a game. And I'd had a good game up there. I think I scored three or four goals, actually, in the reserves against an Ipswich Town side. And it went from there, I think. And Sir Alf, sign me. I wasn't that keen, actually, to come along and play for the town, because I was with Portsmouth, who were in the first division, and Ipswich Town was struggling in the second. So you know, it was something that I didn't really want to come to the town, but the manager, Freddie Cox, had just taken over at Portsmouth. He didn't rate me. He didn't want me to stay. And Alf did. And, you know, he made me so welcome when I first met him that, you know, it was a joy to come to Ipswich Town with a manager who wanted me to play for the town. So that's how it happened.
I mean, could you tell right from the start that, you know, Sir Alf had that? Had something about him then, and where it was ultimately going to lead, or had you had no idea at the time, really? I guess it was a tough one.
Well, at the time, we, you know, like everybody in the club when I was there, he was football daft. You know, Alf sort of, you only had a conversation about football with Sir Alf and Alf as he was at that time. And when we used to travel away and on the trains, he'd come in our compartment and talk, and when the conversation run out of football, he'd up and go. He did, you know, that's all we knew Alf about. He was so football minded that
would you say he was just
a pleasure to talk about football.
Would you say he was somewhat aloof then, slightly aloof, or just, as you say, he didn't really want to know, as you said, anything else but the football?
He had that manner about him that he was a gentleman.
Yeah,
you know, I'd been with a couple of managers who hadn't, you know, they told you off in different words. But Alf wouldn't come in and say anything. On that day or about that match, he'd wait 3 or 4 days before he would consult you about the way you played and what you were doing and what he expected you to do in the next game.
And, so, Ray, you mentioned the trial game and, you know, the game at Norwich, and you scored 4 goals. And obviously, you know, scoring goals was a theme, well, not just through your Ipswich career, but right throughout your career, I mean, obviously. So just looking at this, made your debut, Swansea away, oddly enough, lost 4-2, but you scored 2 on your debut. Memories of that at all? Can you remember much about that?
Well, actually, we lost, didn't we? We lost at Swansea. My first game, we lost at Swansea, and then we were down in Wales 2 weeks running, and the following week we were down at Cardiff, and we lost at Swansea, and then we beat Cardiff 2-1 on theirs, and from then on to the end of the season, I was, you know, scoring quite well, and I got to about 3 or 4 games before the end of the season. And Alf called me in the office. He said, I'm not going to play you anymore this year. I thought, that's a good move, isn't it? And I didn't play about the last four games of my first season. And
he was scared that other teams were going to scout you and you were going to, you know, be poached, or do you think? Or
there was a few approaches, because I was mentioned in the News of the World that certain clubs wanted me. And
Wow.
I knocked the door on a Monday morning and had a word with him. And he said, "Boy, do you want to go?" And I went, "No." He said, "Well, what are you bothering to come in and talk to me about it?" I said, "I just wanted to know if they'd approach you."
He wouldn't talk about the
subject. He just, you know, didn't want to talk to me about it.
And a theme right through the season. I mean, incredible. So you only 30 games, 25 goals that first season. I think the club, we finished just below mid-table in Division Two. But could you see, you know, from that season and then leading on to obviously the next season, 59-60, could you see things starting to develop then, or was it not until, you know, promotion the season after, perhaps, that you could really see when, obviously, the team that you know, the great team started to develop? Is that really when it took off the next season, or could you see signs of it that very first full season that you had, 59-60?
Yeah, I think the second season, I think that season when we didn't get promotion, Alf was bringing in different players and he was strengthening the side. Some of the players he had in the side were, no disrespect, were getting on a little bit, and probably in that division they would have probably held their own, but he was obviously looking to get higher, so he needed to bring players in, which he did.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get
and that was our plan. You know, we just
bought players, and obviously for the next season, you were for that season 59-60. I think that was your first combination with the great combination with Ted Phillips. Yeah.
What a lad! Do you know what? Well, I did my national service, and so did Ted, and we were both right. in Malaya. We never met up. I didn't know Ted was out there. He didn't know I was out there until we started talking. About 18 months after I was with the town, we got on the conversation about what we'd done earlier in our career. There he is, my mate. And Ted, you know, I was in Malaya. And I said, well, I was in Malaya. And then that's incredible. How it was. I played for the Malayan FC and went on tour wow. with them to Malaya. And yeah. I'm sure if that Ted was out there, he'd have been alongside of me.
Ray, I read a lot about Ted. He was a bit of a character, wasn't he? He liked a prank or two, didn't he?
He was a character. There would never be another Ted Phillips. There could be another Ray. Never a Ted Phillips.
I think
I'll tell us what to do and what not to do. But I'm sure he didn't tell Ted anything. Ted, if he did, Ted never ever done what he was told.
My father used to say in later times when, do you remember in the 70s and it was, well, you played against him, Ray. We'll get to that later on. When they used to say Peter Lorimer had the hardest shot in football, and my father used to shake his head. He said, nowhere near as fast as Ted Phillips. Believe me, nowhere near as hard as that.
No way. I got no end of goals from Ted's shots where the keeper thought he had it, but it would come straight at him and it would bounce out. And I knew, I just used to follow up. And a little tap in, goalkeeper right. was looking for the ball. And Ted was unbelievable.
So, Rach, is that where you saw yourself as a bit of a predator? Did most of your goals come from inside the box, you know, 6-yard box like that?
Yeah. Inside the box. Rarely yet scored goals outside the box, and got a couple now and again. But mate, Ralph Ramsey, he said, I got you. What are you doing on the wing? Fantastic. I said, well, I was on the left wing, didn't I? I was a left winger with a right foot. and he said, I don't want you out there and out there. I want you in the 6-yard box. And that was, you know, down to Alf. And obviously, Ted's shots where the keeper couldn't hold them. And I got little tap ins and work hard and get your goal. You don't get them for nothing. You've got to keep making those runs. You might make 2, 3, 4, 5 runs and then want to come along and you knock it in the back of the net.
You just described it. Tell you just described, and I've heard people talk about him like that. Gary Lineker, exactly the same. Never scored a goal outside the box. Always on the half turn. Just looking for those little bits and pieces around the, you know, around the penalty area, 6-yard box. Always there. That's your description there. It just makes me think of, how Gary Lineker was described.
That's right. When I went to Wolves and Stan Cullen said to me, why don't you shoot outside the 18-yard box?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I haven't got a hard enough shot. I always got my goals around the 6-yard box and that was it.
Brilliant. Did you and Ted have a little side bet going on as to who would be the top goal scorer at the end of the season? Did you ever get involved in any of that with Ted?
Talked about it. Never even hinted about it.
Yeah.
We just went out and played. We played Leeds United at home on Saturday. Ted headed it on to me. I headed it back to him, and Ted was 25, 30 yards out. And he whacked it into the back of the net. And Jack Charlton said to Billy Bradley, did you see that? He said, unbelievable.
All right. This is gold. This is gold. This is absolute gold, my friend. Absolutely, absolutely brilliant.
Oh, it was fantastic.
So that partnership starting to flourish, 59-60, yourself 36.
It was just natural. We never worked at it. We didn't work at it. It was just natural.
Well, I tell you what,
we just went out and played.
something obviously clicked for the pair of you in the next season, 60-61. So you get there. So you had a reasonable success the season before, but 60-61, you get promotion from Division Two. I mean, these stats are outstanding. So the pair of you scored 70 goals. So I think the team scores 100 league goals, and you score 70 between you. You score 40 goals. He scored 30 goals. I mean, it's just absolutely mind-blowing. So Ray, just tell me a little bit. So now the side is starting to evolve, and we all know about the withdrawn wingers. Just going to give me a little bit of insight how that initially worked and came into being.
Well, it just said. It was the way Alf Ramsey played the game. He didn't have overlapping fullbacks. So, I mean, a lot of teams that we played against had fullbacks that overlapped. He didn't. He had Jimmy Ledbetter and Roy Stevenson, who just used to drop back in that position, get the ball from the fullback, perhaps, or the defence, knock it up to Ted or myself, and then we just, it would go back into midfield. They would play eight wide, either side. And we'd go again, and that's how it was. I mean, nobody ever picked it up. It took them 12 months to pick that up.
Yeah, we'll get.
We had deep line wingers.
Yeah, amazing. We'll get on to that. So obviously, like I said, 40 goals for yourself, 30 goals for Ted, and you go into that 61-62 season. What were your expectations going into that season? Was it purely survival? Look, if we can survive a season, maybe then, see how it goes. Or were you just so confident after, obviously winning, getting promotion, winning Division Two? Do you feel that confidence sort of carried over into the next season?
Didn't even think about it. Nothing ever was talked about it. Alf Ramsey said at the start of the season, you can all go up and get yourself a new pair of boots. That was a sports shop up in the town. We said, So there was a lovely, he gave us, I think Alf gave us about £18 that we could have a pair of football boots from, having won the second division.
Wow.
And then we go, I'll come back and I say to Alf, they got a new football boot out there, Italian soft. Can I have those? So he said, how much are they? I said, I think they're about £30. He said, of course you can have those boots. And I turned to walk away and he said, as long as you pay the extra money.
just
won the second division. And we're going up. And unbelievable. Yeah, he said, as long as you pay the extra money.
He
was so tight-fisted like that, Alf, but...
Just priceless. Well, I tell you what, Ray, they obviously, if you did go those boots again, they certainly hold you in good stead for that season. So
they were a cracking pair of boots. Yeah, they were.
And again, I'm a bit too young to remember. I think I was born literally 2 months after you won the championship. There you go, spoiler alert, that season. But when did you first realise? Again, my father tells me of one great game early season, I think, against Burnley. I mean, look at the side there, unbelievable. One great game early season against Burnley where I think you'd lost the away game 4-3, and Burnley were a top side.
They'd won the league the season before or
season or two, and at Spurs won
they had about six internationals, didn't they?
And then we
started our first game against Bolton and we got a 0-0 draw, and then we go to Burnley and we get done about 6-3, I think it was at Burnley. And then we got Man City at home and we get beat again. So we was all a little bit edgy. And then Burnley turned up and we walloped them about 6-0. I think the whole five front players scored.
Yeah. Incredible.
We all scored.
So to that, really, looking at that team, the only real addition to that team was Dixie Moran, who just made up the front. Played up with you and Ted, yeah?
That's right, yeah. A really, really good footballer. He never stopped running. He could pass the ball. He could tackle.
Yeah.
We'd gone to Scotland the season before and had a few days in Scotland at John Cobbold's Loch Rannoch home up there. And Alf went missing. And we all said, where's the manager? He says, gone to look for a player. And it was Dougie Moran. We didn't know at the time. Dougie was playing in Scotland and Alf had gone off and seen him play. And obviously he thought he was the one we wanted. And he was the only one at that time that came in. And then Kenny Malcolm got injured after three or four games and Johnny Compton came in at left back. It was a wing half, young wing half at Chelsea. Came in, never played left back before. In he went, left back, brilliant. Absolutely. He just listened to what Alf told him.
I mean, and it's just incredible. If you look at the appearance records that season, I mean, probably, I don't know, like three quarters of the side, probably eight or nine of you in the side, played over like 38 games. It is just unbelievable. I mean, and, you know, when you look at all the injuries in football today, okay, Ray, you know, they say today's football is perhaps faster, more athleticism. But to put on the account of that, they've got all the sports science. I mean, you guys just had a guy with a bucket of water and a sponge pretty much and some smelling salts, didn't you? That's pretty much it, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's how it was, wasn't it? I mean, it was a bucket of water and a sponge, and that was it. And when you went down, I remember playing a game at Portsmouth, and the trainer's come on. He's put a sweat sponge over my face, and I said, "It's not my face; it's my ankle." And I'd had a broken ankle, and they carried me off. I went to hospital. And this fellow's putting a sponge on my face. And you're like, that's all they knew in those days.
Ray, different breed of player in those days, Ray. Different breed of player. So, and also another key game early on in that season, obviously, the great Spurs side, the double win. I think they came to Portman Road, ultimately, to do the double. They came to Portman Road, and he beat them 3-2. Again, fairly early on in the season. Again, that must have been certainly after a game like that. Did you then start to think, oh, hang on, maybe we're not quite so, you know, cannon fodder, or you know, maybe we've got a chance to consolidate here.
We, to be honest, we just didn't think about the next game when we were playing. We just concentrated on the game that we were playing. Never ever thought about the next game. Never ever thought about what tactics there were. Or who we were playing against. We just went out and played. I mean, we were so friendly with one another. We always used to go out on a Wednesday night and play darts in the darts league to raise money for charity. Yeah. And there was hardly any of the first team that didn't actually turn up and play darts against the locals. It was like a fairy book story. It's like, you know, it just wouldn't happen nowadays. It couldn't happen because you wouldn't be allowed to go out drinking on a Wednesday.
Well, exactly. You'd be lucky to get all the first team players to go and play darts with the fans or whoever. Just wouldn't, or obviously wouldn't happen these days. You know, wouldn't happen. And you know, Ray, I think. So when can you remember sort of when? So obviously you know you're up and around there at Christmas and you're getting into the new year. Can you kind of remember when the sort of, you know, the press, and you can't really call the media because it was just really the written press at those days. Can you remember when the press suddenly started to take interest and say, oh yeah, look, you know, Ipswich are in and around the top two or three. And, you know, at that point, did you then kind of think, oh, this could. But again, or did you just simply dismiss that? And like you say, it's the old cliche, you took every game as it came and that was simply it.
No, I don't think we were up there. They didn't think we were going to win the league. They didn't think we had a chance. They thought the big boys would start after Christmas to get stuck into Ipswich Town. And, you know, we had a few games when we didn't play that well. But if you've got goal scorers, you don't have to play well because they'll get you out of trouble.
I mean, ever since, you know, I mean,
we never ever thought about not scoring. Ted and myself, we had this little. I know we never said it to one another, but Ted wanted to be the top scorer. I wanted to be the top scorer because if you're playing football, you want to be the best.
Of course,
it's no doubt about it. They're saying, oh. You know, I don't care who scores. If I never scored on a Saturday, I was miserable. Yeah, that was my job to score goals. We won 6-1 one weekend. I think Dermot got three, Ted got three. I didn't get a goal. I was cheesed off.
Well, there's the ultimate goal scorer in you, Ray. So
yeah,
Ray, so you're getting now into the running. So we're getting into sort of February, March. You go to, I think, again, what's still probably acknowledged as one of the great games in Town's history. You go to Spurs, I think, on a Tuesday night, midweek game, I think maybe early March, I think, that season. So getting towards the running now, and you beat Spurs 3-1. Surely after that. And then I've read several books about this and pieces, and I think that is really when the national press did really start to really take note. Would you agree with that? Can you remember much about that game? I think they said it was like 50,000 in White Hart Lane.
The Spurs game was fantastic, really, because we all met at Ipswich Station at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're kicking off about 7:30 in London. I mean, would they do that nowadays? They'd be in a coach, they'd have this, that, and everything else. We jumped on a train, we got to Liverpool Street, Alf leading us away, onto an underground, get to Tottenham. You know, we just walked along with the supporters. I mean, that just wouldn't happen nowadays, would it? It just couldn't happen, because they'd be mobbing you and, you know, wanting autographs and everything. But in those, that's what happened. We just went on there. And then we did have a coach after the game. Well, got us a coach back to the train station. But that was it. You know, it was nothing special. We were going up there to play Tottenham, who probably thought they were going to beat us, because if they'd have, we beat them twice that season. And if they'd have won both those games, they would have won the league. Because I think they finished third in the end.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And I think I read somewhere, Ray, that, I don't know if you could call this, but in the preceding games, preceding that game, Ted had sort of had a bit of a barren spell and had been a little bit off form and hadn't really scored that many. I think post-Christmas, he had a bit of a quiet spell. And I think I read somewhere that game, he was just back to his, I think I heard him described as back to his rampaging best, I think I read somewhere. You know, he's raining shots in from everywhere, yeah?
Oh, he was fantastic that night, absolutely.
So,
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kira McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, go on, Ray, sorry.
So I remember coming out when we beat Tottenham up there, and we had to come past the Spurs dressing room, and Danny Blanchflower was sitting there still in his shorts, with his head down between his knees.
Wow.
I could not believe what we saw when we came past that. I mean, he was a great player.
I mean, don't forget, you know, that night, who scores the Spurs goal that night was Greaves. Jimmy Greaves scores for Spurs that night.
Greasy, yeah, they brought Greasy back from Italy, and Greasy scored that night as well too, didn't he?
Yeah,
staggering. We had the double over him, and big Morris Norman from Norwich. He was an ex-Norwich player. I love playing against that one because he said he was going to kick me all over the place at Tottenham. When we came off, coming off at Portman Road, he said, "Wait till you come to White Hart Lane, so I'm going to kick you all over the place." Well, I think never got anywhere near me.
You've got to put it in perspective, Ray, that, you know, Spurs were double winners, weren't they? So, you know, I think only the first team this century, or second team maybe, this century, in the 20th century, to do the double in 60-61, the season before. So, you know, to beat them twice, you know, coming from, you know, a little old country bumpkin Ipswich was just absolutely...
What an achievement.
And so you're getting towards the running, serious running now over Easter, Ray. Burnley, I think, have got 3 games in hand, and there's not many points between you, maybe 2 or 3 points between you. I think another big result. Don't you go to Highbury, I think, Good Friday, and you turn Arsenal over, something like, I think, 3-0, something like that.
Yeah.
Memories of that one at all? Can you remember much about that one?
We went to Chelsea. We played at home, I think, with Arsenal on the Good Friday. I think we drew 1-1, didn't we?
I think you beat them. I think you won 3-0 there, Ray.
Highbury we won, but I think we drew two. Then we drew two of the games, didn't we?
Yes,
draw home with Arsenal, and then we drew with Chelsea, didn't we?
That's right, Chelsea. Chelsea were ultimately to finish bottom. I think you were 2-0 down against Chelsea, and came back and got a point late on.
Yes, and then we went to Arsenal and. We all came together and we won. I think we won 3-1. I think Ted got one and I got a couple. And I think Ted had a thunder shot and the keeper couldn't hold it. And I just tapped it over the line.
Your typical goal, right? Typical Crawford goal then.
Yeah. Then I remember Terry Neill was centre half for the Irish internationals playing for Arsenal. And I remember coming in from the wing, putting it through his legs. 7 megs, because that's what we used to do. If you put it through somebody's legs, you just say megs.
Yeah.
So I put it through his legs, and then I'd hammer it past the goalkeeper. And it was great memories.
Yeah, Terry Neill, obviously latterly to be Arsenal's manager in the cup final, of course, 78, all those years. Well, 16 years later, of course, 16 years later. So it's all set up, although I think Burnley have got a couple of games in hand. They're dropping points, and suddenly... It's all on that last, really on that last game. I think Burnley have got 2 games left. We've got Villa at home. Burnley, I think, are playing, I believe, already relegated Chelsea, I think. So how it transpires, if Ipswich win, Burnley have got a win and also, I believe, get a point from, I think, their last game. So Burnley have got a win. Or maybe even win their last game, but that's how it all works out. So you get to the game at home to Villa. Who I think you'd lost to earlier on this season. I think they had people like Derek Dugan, I think, was playing for them up front.
Well, I was with him at Portsmouth. I was there when he came as a 19-year-old and the Dugan. I hadn't played against Villa up there because I was playing for the league side or an international game. I know they went ahead and played the game and I didn't play up there. And obviously, they didn't want to lose to Ipswich Town. Aston Villa came with an idea of you know, and they shut us out, didn't they, for about an hour. And then I think John Ellsworthy come up, didn't he, and headed that. John Ellsworthy, brilliant, headed it onto the bar and it dropped down and I just followed
there's
up.
That,
and
there, I was, there's I, that thing. There's that finish, Ray. Look at that. How far? About 3 yards out.
That's a long one. That's a long way out for me to score a goal. I normally have them a bit nearer.
and then.
What about the goalkeeper? What about the referee? Do you know what the referee's name was?
Go on.
Crawford.
No way. Seriously.
It definitely. You look it up. I think it's Ernie Crawford, the referee. No relation of mine.
No relation.
Yeah, Ernie Crawford.
Superb. And then you wrap it up, and then another goal, I think, you know, a few minutes later, it's 1-0. I think from what I've read, you know, the tension suddenly is relieved, and you obviously a breakaway, and you go and get 2-0. So at the end of the game, there's no way of knowing, you know, there's no way of knowing, no radio, TVs, or anything like that. I think it's all pretty much done on the phone. And incredibly,
we were in the dressing room, weren't we? We went back to the dressing room, and Alf was doing a, I think little chat on with the radio guy.
Yeah.
And the next minute, you know, it comes up, doesn't it, that Chelsea's beat Burnley, and
incredible, absolutely incredible, and you're champions.
And then everybody went mad, didn't they? They all went mad.
What are your recollections of that? Can you recall anything about the evening? Or I mean, obviously there was a civic.
Yeah, the evening we all went down to Felixstowe, and we stayed the night down in Felixstowe, and we all got drunk together.
Who liked to drink? Go on, Ray. You can name names. Who was the social guy? Who would organise the social events if you went out in that team? Who liked a beer or two?
Oh, we all did. All the lads. I can't remember anybody not Great drinking.
Yeah.
We didn't go silly. Alf said, if you're going out drinking, you drink up to Wednesday. I find you have been drinking after 8 anywhere after Wednesday. Whether the lads did or not, I don't know, but I didn't. I didn't drink a lot anyway. I just used to have a few.
Yeah, yeah. what a season. What a season. And look, Ray, this leads to an England call-up.
Yeah, that was where I got the England call-up through playing with the lads. And I mean, if you get a fella scoring goals, they were looking for people all the time to play. And I was fortunate enough to get a couple of games for England, and we drew with Ireland, and I think we beat Austria 3-1 or something like that.
I got
the England goal.
Ah, superb.
I've got my cap. It came through the post.
Oh, fantastic.
My cap came through the post in an old envelope that was half ripped open.
Wow.
Put through my letterbox.
And just talking, you know, some of those players in that team, Bobby Charlton. Tell me about Bobby Charlton.
Bobby Charlton was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, because he'd been in the Munich air crash, as you know.
Yeah.
And
but
he was a very quiet person. Just got on. I remember when Bobby got the goal against Ireland, and Alf Ramsey picked me up after the game at Wembley and brought me home, and he went, Bobby Charlton should have been going down the line and squaring up for you to score. You shouldn't have been going down the line and pulling it back for Bobby Charlton. I went, all right, Alf. You know, Alf was like that, wasn't he? He'd pick holes in different things.
Well, tell me, Ray, did I read somewhere also? I think I might have read this in your book, that you actually got a knock. You actually were carrying a knock when you're doing your England debut, and you sort of, not say covered it up, but you so obviously desperately didn't want to miss out that, you know, you played, and obviously you scored, but you played with a knock, yeah?
We played on the Saturday against Wolves, and I got 6 studs on my ankle, and I was having treatment at Portman Road, and Alf came in and said, you all right to play on Wednesday? I went, yeah, I'll be okay. You don't get picked playing for your country every day, do you? I mean, you're not going to turn it down just for a little bruised ankle. Get out there and give it, you know, all you've got. So, I probably shouldn't have played, but I did, and I scored in that game. So, obviously, it was the right thing.
Just quickly, Ray, about your England. Massive Ipswich connection that first game, none other than a certain Bobby Robson played.
Yeah.
Good. Tell me about his football. Good footballer, good player.
Yeah. Bobby was a very good, elegant player, wasn't he? He was one of those players that he was good control, good passer of a ball. You know, he was like a gentleman. But a very, very good player.
I played against him
when he was at West Brom, and we went to West Brom because we took everybody by surprise, didn't we? we went to West Brom that season and beat West Brom up there.
Yeah,
you know, Bobby was in the side up there.
Yeah. So did you ever tell me, Ray? Did you ever play against? Probably preceded you. You never played against Duncan Edwards.
No. He. I was playing for Portsmouth then when that Munich air crash. That was tragic. That was tragic. That was. I was in the Pompey side and I got injured that weekend, and Man United came down midweek, and I think we got a draw, but I didn't play. It was 3-3 with Man United that day at Fratton Park, and that was tragic, horrible thing.
And so bit disappointing you didn't add to your England caps, Ray.
Yeah, really, I suppose, but I was fortunate enough to get two, so I was pleased with that. And you know, when you think of Brian Clough, who was a brilliant player, he only got one cap.
Just incredible, isn't it? Yeah, you know, Clough, just absolutely incredible.
Clough was out of this world.
So, and then
Brian
things start to.
A great player.
Oh no, very much so. And then you get to the next season, 62-63, and again, I suppose the landmark game there is the Charity Shield, when perhaps. Who was always known as a great tactician, Bill Nicholson, had done a bit of homework, Ray. Would you say that?
Yeah, but they never ever say that we had 10 men.
Okay.
Larry Carberry got injured in the first 5 minutes. No subs, no substitutes, no players coming on and off. We had 10 men.
Wow.
Larry went and played on the right wing, but he couldn't run. And in fact, he was eight for about 6 weeks.
He had done his
homework on us, obviously.
Yeah.
He went man for man on Ted and myself, and not only that, he put people on Jimmy Ledbetter and Roy Stevenson, who supplied our goals for us. You know, our crosses, our goals. So, he'd done his homework. But when you've only got 10 men.
Yeah, so you win the championship, Ray. So this leads to. To Europe, European football. Who would have thought it? European football at Portman Road. Absolutely incredible. So the first round, you play a team from Malta, the Maltese, Floriana. I suppose you'd say a bit of a comfortable win at home. 10-0, you managed to bag half of those goals. Five. What do you remember? However, then you play, and then incredibly, you're drawn against AC Milan. I mean, what a draw.
Oh, fantastic. I'm sitting at home. We didn't used to have to be at Portman Road until 45 minutes before the kickoff. So I'm home at 6 o'clock, and I've got a brand new car because we won the league the season before. I go out, the car won't start. I've had to run down from Cedarcroft Road to Norwich Road to thumb a lift to get to Portman Road to play against one of the best teams in the country, in football.
In Europe.
And I get to Portman Road at 7 o'clock at night. We kick off at 7:30. And I've come in the dressing room, and Alf said to me, "Come on, get a move on. We kick off in half an hour." I said, "Oh, yeah, I've just been inside. Give them the tickets out." I couldn't actually say, like, I got a brand new car that won't go. Ridiculous. And then we went out and played well, didn't we? I mean,
just a bit too much, wasn't it? A bit too. And of course, they went on to win the European Cup. So again, the thing is that
they were different, Dave. They were different to us. They were pulling our shirts and pulling a hair in the back of our neck and things like that. You know, we were naive, very, very naive to in those days.
Yeah, but, just Just incredible. And Ray started the great dynasty to this day. I mean, we haven't played in Europe for a while. Still undefeated at home in European football. That's incredible. I think it's nigh on 30 games. Someone will put me right out there. But that incredible record still exists. So from back in your day, you were obviously the forerunners, the first two games against Floriana, then against AC Milan. And then obviously the UEFA Cup games under Bobby Robson, subsequent to that, and latterly George Burley. So still undefeated at home after, you know, all these years.
That's amazing. I think
that's your unique.
I didn't even know that. That is actually brilliant. I didn't know that.
It is, and against the greats, you know, Barcelona twice, all the greats, just absolutely incredible. So Ray, you know, things start to, you know, that subsequent season, perhaps, you know, things, you know, start to fall apart, not fall apart as such, but obviously, well, this very much mirrors the Robson years at Ipswich, where the only way, Sir Ralph
went to manage England, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he goes off to manage England.
Yeah.
We haven't got a manager. The manager's job's been offered to several people who've turned it down. Then Bobby comes along. He was rather naive as a manager, like most players are when you finish. And he knew what he wanted. But before Bobby'd come, I was having a drink with a chairman, John Cobbo, because he's about my age. We're coming back from Newcastle, just been murdered up there. And he said, "What are you doing at the end of the season?" I went, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, do you want to manage one of my pubs?" this is the chairman saying to me, and I went, "No, thank you, Mr. John." I said, I want to go to South Africa." And then we're having a drink. He said to me, "You can go on a free. Yeah. You can go to South Africa." Roy Bailey was out there managing or something.
Yeah.
And Roy was out there. It was all done and dusted. Bobby Robson comes along. We've gone to Everton. I've scored a couple of goals up there. I thought, I better go in and see Bobby on the Monday. Tell him I'm going to South Africa at the end of the season. He went, "What?" I said, "The chairman's given me a free transfer. I'm going at the end of the season." And it all blew up, didn't it? That's how I come to leave Ipswich Town to play for Chelsea.
Just prior to that, just quickly, I mean, obviously, when the championship winning side starts to go its separate ways, Sir Ralph goes, Jackie Milburn comes in. That clearly doesn't work. There he is with Andy Nelson.
Hey, and then, lovely guy. Lovely guy.
Too nice, Ray, perhaps?
Too nice. You know, he used to take us down to bowling alley, didn't he? Play bowls. What do you want to play, you know, bowling alley? He was a lovely fellow. He was still playing. When we had practice matches on the pitch, he was one of the best players on the park.
Oh, he's a hell of a player. Wasn't he? He's a god at Newcastle, wasn't he? Absolute god up in Newcastle. So you go to Wolves, Ray. You go to Wolves after 200, I mean, incredible, September 63, you played 219 games for Town up to that point. A ridiculous 156 goals, quite ridiculous. Yeah. And again, success at Wolves over a couple of seasons, 61 games, 41 goals. You enjoyed it there as well, yeah?
Yeah, I had a good time at Wolves. I was just a goal scorer, that was all, wasn't it? I knew my limitations. Stan Cullen said to me once, "Why don't you score goals outside the box?" As I was saying, and I said, "Because I haven't got hard enough." And you've got to do what. It's no good trying to do things that you're not capable of doing.
Sure, and a very brief spell at West Brom, only a few games, still score goals, Ray, but
didn't really
work out for you at West Brom.
No, I'd gone over there and I played, I think it was my second or third game, and somebody studied me and I got a bad injury.
Yeah.
And then that, you know, Jimmy Hagan was a funny guy. And I said to his son once at one of the dinners up there, I said, "I didn't get on very well with you, Dad." He said, "No, nor did I." And that said enough, you know. And that's what, yeah. If you were picking a team, you'd pick him. He was about 50. He was the best player in the club. The manager, Jimmy Hagan. Great player.
Oh, mate, brilliant. And then the pull, you get pulled back. You get pulled March 65. How does that... How did it change? So you come back to Ipswich, obviously you get the opportunity. Bill McGarry's in charge there, who, you know,
yeah,
by all
Bill
accounts,
McGarry came up.
Very tough man, disciplinarian.
Oh, hard as nuts. We'd gone to play. Before I met Bill McGarry, I'd played at Peterborough in the League Cup. And it was 0-0 at home. The manager didn't play me at home. It was 0-0. Replay up at Peterborough. And I had one of those games when everything went well. I think I scored the first, made the second, made the third. And then, as I say, after the game, Jimmy Hagan said to me, Bill McGarry wants to sign you. Come over to the Hawthorns at 10:30 tomorrow and meet him, which I did.
Yeah.
And then that's it. I came down on the Friday when he played on the, came back, signed for the town and just started scoring goals again for him. So it was quite good.
And I think, Ray, even in that sort of two or three seasons you'd been away, a lot of those players from the Championship side had moved on. I mean, obviously there were still the likes of Billy Baxter was still there. And but other than him, there really wasn't that many left of that side, was there?
No, not really. There was a Tommy Carroll. Carroll was, I think, was there. Ken Hancock. Oh, no, I think Bill McGarry brought him in, didn't he? There wasn't many there. I think a few of the boys that were in the side, I think they were young players when I was leaving the club.
Well, obviously, very, very soon, latterly, sort of season or two afterwards, then a very young Mick Mills comes in, of course.
Yeah, Mills, he played for, he's on Pompey's youth team up here, wasn't he?
Yeah,
youth team and lived in Guildford, didn't he, at the time?
They disbanded their youth section, didn't they? I mean, again, could you see, I mean, the career he was going to go on to have, goodness me, captain Ipswich at a World Cup and, record appearance maker. Could you see that?
No, at the time, he was a cocky little bugger. And I remember Bill McGarry going to throttle him. He was going to, you do as you're told, you do what I tell you and all that. And Bill McGarry was very hard on him.
Yeah. One of my favourite players in that picture there, Ray. One of my favourite players when I watched the town, Colin Viljoen. What a player. What a player, oh, Colin Viljoen.
Fantastic player.
Yeah.
He played in the youth side and Bill McGarry had to go out to South Africa to sign him on, didn't he? He wasn't coming back.
Fantastic player. Didn't
Colin
I
Viljoen
think
went home for the summer. And he wasn't coming back, and Bill had to go out and get him and bring him home.
To get around his visa problems, was it employed by the Cobolds as a gardener or something like that? I read somewhere. I'm pretty sure.
So I believe, yeah.
Yeah. And just quickly, what about John Cobbold? Was he as much of a character as everyone reads and everyone? Incredible, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a fantastic guy. Alf Ramsey used to have to keep him away from us. Because we about having a drink and that, and stop away from the players, Mr. John. Stop away from them. He said get near them after the game. But he liked a drink or two. When I came back to the town, I used to stop in the Station Hotel, and it used to come down on a Wednesday night. He used to have a beer with me in the hotel there.
Brilliant.
And I used to buy everybody a beer at the bar. Had no money. Yeah. He used to say to the guy behind the bar, send me the bill. He's a fantastic guy.
A one-off, a true one-off. So Ray, you win the championship. You're back in the first division again. Absolutely brilliant. And then, like you said, Bill McGarry leaves. Robson comes in. You then leave for almost retiring from British football and move to South Africa. I think you come back briefly and play for a little while. I think you initially play for Charlton, don't you, Ray? When you offered a contract at Charlton,
I went to Charlton after I left the town, which I wish I had never done. And yeah. then I went non-league with Kettering. And then so, I was playing against John Charles, actually, when he was playing.
Wow.
He was player-manager. Wow. Yeah, player-manager down at, where was it?
Merthyr Tydfil, something like that?
Someone like that. And we were having a beer after, and he said, you should still be playing the league. And I went home, and that weekend, we phoned Dick Graham up at Colchester. So I thought, I won't go too high. I wanted to get back in the league. So we phoned Dick Graham up. Dick Graham said to me, leave it with me, because I was still on Charlton's books, yeah. Charlton Athletic. He said, I'll do a deal with Charlton. He said, get you back. 2 or 3 days later, he phoned me. He said, it's all done and dusted. Come down. So we went back to Ipswich, bought a house, sat there, or was buying one, played for the Colchester. And then we ended up having that great Leeds United win, didn't we?
Well, Ray, I've got to say, I was speaking to a colleague of mine today, big football fan. And I said, look, I was speaking to you this evening. And again, he said, oh, yeah, Ray Crawford, the guy who scores the goals for Colchester against Leeds in that game. So, I mean, what almost your, would you almost a swan song, you could call it, I guess. But what are your memories of that day, for goodness sake? And I think I read somewhere that the team not Chris and Dad's army, I believe, because there was a few sort of, let's say, elder statesmen. Yeah, incredible.
That's right.
I mean, and again, obviously well known that the game was on Match of the Day that evening, and you know, I've seen the footage since. I mean, what can you remember about that day, for goodness sake?
Well, I think they just come out for a day out. They flew down before the game. I think they just thought, well, fourth division, you know. But we had 5 or 6 players who were well into their 30s, and for an hour we turned it on. That's all I can say. We played well for about an hour and 10 minutes. We played well. And then luck was on our side. We had a young goalkeeper, Graham Smith, in goal. Yeah. He probably played the game of his life because of some of the saves he made.
Yeah.
I got a couple of goals. Dave Simmons got a goal. And as I say, for the last 20 minutes, we were just hanging on. They scored 2. But they run out of time, and fantastic day.
Still to this day, one of the great cup upsets, and what everyone out there, especially some of our younger subscribers, perhaps should think, this was the FA Cup back then when it actually meant something. So, you know, Leeds, if you look at that Leeds team that day, all the players were playing that day. Hunter,
10 Bremner, internationals.
Mick Jones, Clark, yeah, unbelievable. Just came off, had been cup the season before, you know, losing cup finalists to Chelsea the season before. We're going to go on and win the cup the season after. I mean, they were a top side. And then I think, again, what another great day out, although the result wasn't so great. I think then you have a quarter final against Everton up at Goodison, yeah?
Oh, fantastic. We played really well for 20 minutes. We murdered Everton. Chances fell to people who never scored goals or never scored many goals.
Oh, just the wrong
chances
players,
didn't
yeah.
fall to actually the goal scorers. And
yeah,
but yeah, we enjoyed the day out, and it was a really good day out. Good day out for the supporters. We all went up on the train and come back on the train after, and it was a great day.
Yeah, again, you know, we talk about the great Leeds side. I mean, don't forget, that was an Everton side that were league champions. You know, the great Colin Harvey, Howard Kendall, you know, that Alan Ball, that midfield. And probably, a young Joe Royal, another Ipswich connection, a young Joe Royal up front, probably. So Ray, then you go on to, I think you have a spell at Durban City. And then you come back and you're youth coach at Brighton. And then a certain Brian Clough turns up. Is that right?
Oh, Cluffy! Yeah, he was a different class, Cluffy. We hated him down there at the time. He was awful to us. You know, he had no respect for the players down there. I mean, I was a coach down there, and he said, "Get the lads ready for 10 o'clock in the shorts and training gear." He'd turn up at 12. The players have been sitting in the dressing room for 2 hours on the backside in their their training kit.
Just brilliant. And did you know him any? Did you as a player of your your standing? Did you know him anyway? Did you know him as an opponent?
No, he had an incident at Portman Road where he was having a fight with his own winger because the winger wouldn't cross the ball to him, so he went out and started punching him.
I mean, if you look at, your goal scoring record is just phenomenal, Ray. But if you look at his goal scoring record, considering he finished so young, he'd have broken all records. Jimmy Greaves, he'd have broken them all, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would have had records no one would have ever broken.
No, absolutely.
He was that good. He was
absolutely
a really
incredible
good player. But
you're back to your beloved Pompey again as sort of a youth manager and assistant for a good spell after that.
Yeah. And brought a few boys through. A few international players. Steve Foster, two centre halves, Graham Robertson and Steve Foster. I used to go out and go around the schools, go around the youth clubs. And a lot of my friends, if you see anyone that's any good or think any good, Chris Kamara. What about Chris Kamara?
Oh, Cammy,
Chris Kamara, a fellow of mine in the Navy. I said, oh, what do you mean? He said he's not English. So that don't matter.
Yeah.
I said can he play? He said, oh, well, I don't know. You better come and have a look at him. And I had him down at Fratton Park, and Ian St. John said to me, who's that lad? I said, oh, I just got him out the Navy. I said, he's still in the Navy, but he's coming to play for the youth team.
Yeah.
And that was it. Where would he have been if my pal hadn't recommended him to me?
Who knows? Who knows, Cammy? What an absolute legend. I knew about Steve Foster. I must admit, I didn't realise about Graham Roberts. He was a tough player, wasn't he?
Hard as nails. His parents had a fruit and veg stand on the markets.
Yeah.
And John Bond was manager of Bournemouth. John Bond went to Norwich, and the youth team guy at Bournemouth phoned me up and said, Ray, I've got a good kid here. I said, what's his name? He said, Graham Roberts. I said, give me his phone number. He said, not on the phone. He's not on the phone. They haven't got a phone. I went, oh, all right, I'll send him a letter. So I sent him a letter, told him to come up to Fratton Park, which he did with his mate, and because him and his pal used to go everywhere together. He came up, and you could see. Ian St. John said to me one day in his training, who's that young lad over there? I said, oh, it's Graham Roberts. He said, my word. He said, he's ferocious, isn't he? He used to be a centre forward then. He was a number nine.
Yeah.
And size boots? It's size 12. I mean, who wears football boots size 12? He did. Graham Roberts did.
A couple of years ago,
last time I spoke to Graham, he came up here and played a charity match. And he was all hearty. But Jimmy Dickinson didn't rate him.
So, I mean, Jimmy Dickinson.
That's why he left Portsmouth. He left Portsmouth because Jimmy didn't rate him.
I think you're right. I think he actually left Portsmouth and went non-league again, didn't he, before Spurs picked him up, I believe.
He went to Weymouth.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He went to Weymouth and then he was going to sign for one club and he got hijacked, didn't he?
Went on to play. Then, Ray, I think, you finish your sort of football career for Fareham Town and sort of Winchester, some coaching there, some management and coaching there.
Yeah, I had another good spell in the FA Cup.
Ah.
Got Fareham Town. Yeah, we did well. We got round to the first round proper in the FA Cup at Fareham, which was a outstanding achievement. I don't think they've got there that far since. And I've had a great time in football. I enjoyed it.
Ray, absolute pleasure. So you finish your Town career. So focus on your Town career. 352 games, 227 goals, my friend. Never going to be separate. Never going to be surpassed. Never, ever, ever, believe me. Yeah. Never going to be surpassed. I mean, Walkie got close to it, but with a lot more games. Probably almost, not quite double that, but a lot more games. But absolutely phenomenal. So, I mean, I hear you now, you know, on occasions, you know, I hear you sometimes on Radio Suffolk when we're playing Pompey. You obviously still, Ipswich still has a real, you know, deep place in your heart. Yeah, your time here and, you know, love for the club. That always comes across when I hear you.
Yeah, it's lovely to come up. And it's a pity we wanted to come up last weekend, didn't we, and watch the Pompey Ipswich game. But it wasn't to be, was it? With all this epidemic out, it's just not the heart out of football.
I think it has, Ray. I think it has. Like I went, like I said, I went for the first time, obviously Saturday, and it's not great. It's not great. I've been following the games on iFollow, but it just isn't great. Portsmouth look useful though. Portsmouth have got one or two quite useful, useful looking players. I think they'll be in and around. You know, I'm sure they'll be in and around the playoffs. Hopefully,
I hope so.
I think hopefully, as far as the town's concerned, we just hope we can. Whether with this manager or not, we get all our sort of injured players back, I think, and start putting together some results again, because that's what it needs, because it's not great down there at the moment, and unfortunately.
Well, they've only lost a few games. I mean, they're still about. They just got to. Hopefully, they will get it together again, as you say, when they get their players fit and like they were when they start the season. And
I think so.
You never know.
Just got to beat those teams in and around them, Ray. We can't beat those teams, those top 10, any of those top 10 teams. We just can't beat, unfortunately. But, yeah, hopefully get the injured players back. Let's see a sort of better style of football there. And, yeah, whether the manager survives that long or not, we'll wait to see. But at the moment, it doesn't look like he's going anywhere. Anywhere just yet. Yeah.
It's sad. It's a sad time. But, I mean, then you get a club like Sunderland who spends – so much money, and they're the same. They've got rid of their manager, and now they're winning games again. So,
maybe
it's a cruel game from the manager's point of view. It's a cruel game because your life is always in the player's hands or the feet, aren't they? Yeah. Because you know if they're not playing well, and you can only encourage your players to play, and it's up to the players, isn't it? You know they. I mean, if I hadn't scored those goals, we probably wouldn't have. And Ted hadn't scored the goals, we wouldn't have got promotion. But, and having said that, we were quite a good football side. But you've got to have these people that can score goals.
Ray, just quickly, I've got to ask you these two. I've done a few of these interviews and I always ask these questions. Who would you say would be the best player you've played with?
The best player I ever played with would be Billy Baxter.
Really?
Billy Baxter was a really good player.
Gosh.
He was a 100%er. He gave the club everything. And hardly said a word, Bill. He just used to go and play.
I saw him play back end of his, obviously, Ipswich career. And what I remember about him, and you read about him, not a very tall man, but superb in the air. Big spring on him. Oh. Big, good in the air.
Yeah, I think he was 5'8" and can jump 6'2". Sometimes you get players 6'2" and they end up jumping up and they're 5'8". But Billy Baxter was.
And tell me, Ray, your hardest opponent. Someone, I mean, obviously you got the best, you got the better of most of your opposing centre halves, but your most hardest opponent.
To be honest, I can't remember. Possibly, no, I can't remember. Oh, some fella used to play for Rotherham, used to kick hell out of me. That was him, I think. I was never the star players. I always used to play well against the star centre half. So it's
Do you have much success against someone like Bobby Moore and players like that?
Yes.
Fantastic. Ray, it's been an absolute pleasure. I mean, for all our pod listeners, obviously all Ipswich fans. If you had one message for the for the Ipswich fans, what would that be?
Get behind the players and cheer them. They don't mean to play bad. They don't mean to miss goals. They are trying. So get behind them and cheer them on.
Ray, it's been an absolute pleasure, my friend. Thank you very, very much. I have absolutely, you can see I've smiled most of the way through. I've got a permanent smile on my face. It's been an absolute pleasure, and thanks to you. And I've got to mention your good lady wife, who's your obviously your IT. Let's describe her as your IT engineer.
I wouldn't be here talking to you without her, because she's the main one.
Right, absolute pleasure, my friend. Thanks very much, mate. And keep safe and keep well.
Give my regards to all the supporters you talk to.
Right,
and
I will.
Let's hope they go up.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.